2 Corinthians 4, Paul was writing to Timothy this morning here to the church at Corinth, and he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Therefore, you have to know what? What therefore is therefore. In the previous verses, in the part of this letter, and understand in these letters to the churches, the letters he wrote were not divided in chapters and verses. That was for our convenience and ease of study and recollection, memory. But as Paul wrote this letter, he talked about the New Testament ministry. The ministry of grace. That is our ministry. Our ministry is a ministry of grace. We are to be loving and forgiving. We are to extend mercy. We are to show forgiveness, show grace, and patience and long-suffering, as we talked about this morning. And that's our ministry. And Paul says, we have received this ministry. We're in this ministry. This is what we do. Sister Gardner joined the church this morning. What she did was she became part of God's organization of ministry. We are an accountability group. We are to hold each other accountable. We are to encourage one another. We are to work together. That's the ministry. And we are to have a ministry, a New Testament ministry, as we have made it our motto, hope, love, and forgiveness. That's our ministry. Now, that's in Christ. Hope is no hope without Christ. Love does not have the depth without Christ, and forgiveness does not matter without Christ. It doesn't matter if I forgive you, because my forgiveness won't keep you out of hell. We need God's forgiveness, and so it is a ministry, a New Testament ministry of grace. He says, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. So by being born again, by receiving the grace of God, by having my sins washed away, I became responsible, in fact, obligated to share in this ministry, to have a part of the ministry of New Testament, to have part of the ministry of the preaching of the gospel. That is our calling. That is God's calling on us. And so look at what he says. Seeing we have this ministry, having received mercy, we faint not. We can't quit. You know what the world needs now? I know there was a song, it just came to my mind. What the world needs now is love, right? You know what the world needs now? Jesus. You know what the world needs now? Hope. The world needs forgiveness. Yes, in fact, the world needs love. That's what the world needs. And I know that we have, in our sensibility, in our awareness of what's going on around us, and even conflicts that we've engaged in, and controversy that's risen, we know what the world needs is Jesus. Because the problems, let me tell you what Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. God, you ain't seen nothing yet. And by the way, I know, I believe in a rapture. I believe we're going to be pulled up out of here and we're going to be gone in the absence of the church. The absence of the Holy Spirit is going to turn the world on its head. But we are going to have to endure some hard times while we're still here. We have not yet begun to experience the pangs of sorrow as described in the book of Matthew. We're going to face it too. And I know, I'd love for the Lord to come back and keep us from all that. But the truth is, we're going to have to endure. We are going to be tested. In fact, we're already being tested. The world is being tested. The Christian world is being tested. The church is being tested about where our devotion is, where our loyalties are, what our faith is. The world is being tested. The Christians are being tested today. We faint not. We must be always ready to give an answer, as Peter wrote, of the hope that is in us to any man that asketh. We need to be ready. Why are you always so happy? What's your answer? Because my wife treats me so good. Because I eat right. Because I'm healthy. Because I exercise. What's your answer? Well, our answer ought to be Jesus. My sins are washed away. My hope is in him. Why are you so happy? Why do you have peace? How can you endure? How can you go through what you've gone through? How can you suffer even with a smile? Because I know my Redeemer liveth. How about that? Be ready. Paul says we have renounced the hidden things of darkness, of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I want you to understand something, and we come across that question which we've hit every week for the last 4 weeks, the same question, why? Why did this happen to Job? And I must be honest with you, I have the answer that the Bible gives, and if you're not satisfied with that, I don't have another explanation. God said, because I said so. God said, because I'm God. I know it doesn't work well with us. It doesn't settle well with us because we know what happened and we know that Job didn't do anything wrong and yet he suffered great loss. Even with his recovery, they say, but why? But why? I don't have a good answer for you. I can't come up with a good answer for you, a different answer for you. I should say it that way. I can't give you one that'll satisfy you because I'm not going to be crafty and deceitful with an answer and try to give you an answer that's not true. And so we can't play with the Word of God. I know that there are different styles of preaching. In my ministry, I have used different styles of preaching. From time to time, I may employ different styles of preaching. But most of the time, I will preach an expository text, line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because that's the best way to have context and understand what the Bible's really trying to tell us. And I know it may not be as entertaining as other ways, but that's what we need. We need that. How many of you ever sat down at a restaurant and you looked at the menu and you looked at what you wanted to eat and what you thought would be the most delightful? And you saw how expensive it was. And you said, that $4 cheeseburger will fill me up just as easily. Well, let me tell you something. I don't want to compare myself to a $4 cheeseburger, but I want us to be satisfied. I want us to be full. And it may not have sweet sauce on it, but it'll fill you up. It ought to. It's spiritual food. And so we need the Word of God. We need the meat of the Word. That's what we need. Paul said we're not handling it deceitfully. We're not putting on a show. We're not playing games. Just telling you the truth. Manifestation, verse 2, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul says, I tell you, the biggest thing we're trying to do is we're trying to live it, not just preach it, but show you that it works. Amen. Amen. Chloe, turn around, sit down. Preached on parenting this morning, so I'm going to live it. We need to live it and preach it, not just preach it. Paul said, I'm not telling you one thing and doing another thing. I'm not being deceitful. I believe it. You say, Ben was telling me about some student in the school that had a conversation with him. He said it went down the line because he's the preacher's son, so they said he must know. And some girl at their school said everything in the Bible is not true. They passed it down the line to Ben. Ben said, tell her it's all true. Elijah, turn around, sit down. Ben said, tell her it's all true. You know what? It's all true. You mean you believe that part? Yep. You believe that part? Yep. All of it. Every bit of it. And there's some things in there that are hard to accept. There are some things in there, but here's the thing. I'm not God. I don't have the mind of God. I can't see forward and backwards like he can. So I don't have the explanation for everything, but I tell you, he does. And his word is true. And so live it, preach it, and live it. Verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We preach not ourselves. This is not about me. And I want you to know something. It's not even about you. It's about the Lord. And it's about our surrender, our submission to him. Look at verse number 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember he said to Job, where were you? Where were word. How do you draw the line between darkness and light? He said, I do that. God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He's the one. And now he has shined in our hearts. He has given enlightenment to us. When? Just like we looked at this morning. There are some things that a lost man will not understand about the Word of God. You can call yourself a doctor, a theologian, a PhD, it doesn't matter. If you're not saved, you're not going to get it. You're not going to comprehend it. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. And only when there's the Holy Spirit in us, only when we receive this enlightenment from God, can we understand it. So Paul said, if you're going to sit here, listen, understand, if you're going to listen to preaching in this church without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't enjoy it. It's not going to tickle your funny bone. You need Jesus. And once you have the Holy Spirit of God, oh, you'll feed on the Word of God. Oh, it'll mean something to you. It'll fill you up. He has shined in our hearts to give light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He has given us that enlightenment. He has given us that knowledge. And look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'd like to be able to, and you know, I have pastors that I admire. And I look up to them. And if I knew they weren't perfect, they would disappoint me. Would. But I'm here to tell you something. I have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I have struggles, disappointments, just like everybody else does. The Christians in this church are not perfect. Now, while it would disappoint me to find out that you are not perfect, I do know you're not. Don't flaunt your sin, but I know you're not perfect. Chloe, sit down. Verse 8. Now, 8 through 11 is going to talk about some suffering. And Paul, as a missionary, went through some suffering. In fact, he persecuted the church, and when the Lord saved him and put him in the ministry, he said, now, Paul, understand something. You're going to have some hard times. You're going to pay the price. Look at verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So Paul was a Christian. I thought when you get saved, all your troubles went away. That's not true. You mean Christians have trouble too? Christians have struggles too? Paul, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, said, we have trouble on every side. How many of you ever had trouble like that in your life? No matter where you turned, it just seemed like trouble was coming at you. No matter where you turned, there was a critic. There was a complaint. There was a problem. Something you had to deal with. Something that made you want to pull your hair out because everything was falling apart all around you. Paul said, we're troubled on every side. But not perplexed, but not yet not distressed. He said, it doesn't bother me. What do you do with it? You deal with it. People ask me, Pastor, how do you do what you do? You just do it. I don't engage my emotions in it, think about it, or have, like Brother Bill was talking about earlier, a pity party, right? What happens if we have a pity party? Y'all ever had a pity party? Yeah. Y'all want to practice having a pity party? You say, Oh, that's a pity party. How many of us ever had a pity party? Look at all the stuff I got to do. Hey, how about standing around talking about all the stuff you have to do? How about doing it? Whoa. There was a lady one time. She had come in the church, not this church, but she had stuff stacked in her house everywhere. The county came to her and they said to her, we're going to condemn your house if you don't clean up this house. Now, I understand that what she was dealing with is a mental illness. Okay, so I get that out. I understand it is a condition. But she stood there in the midst of it and she said, well, I would clean it up, but I just don't know where to start. I said, where you're standing. Guys, I don't know any better advice for you than that. You got to start where you are with what you got. We're, God doesn't expect us to do what we can't do. God doesn't expect us to do with what we don't have. And so we got to start where we are as we are and begin to work. Not get emotional about it and get our feelings into it and think about how much we got. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you regard the wind, you won't sow. If you look at the weather, you'll say, well, you know, it's not a good day for it. And how many of us have done that? Not a good day for it. And I'll tell you something. I have done that to myself sometimes, and it's pressed me to the point I couldn't get anything done. But what happens when you say, well, if I need 2 hours to do that, and all I've got now is an hour. Well, put an hour of work into it. And when you come back, all you'll need is 1 hour to finish it. Is that easy to follow? Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Look, there's sometimes we don't understand. And we could sit around and have that pity party and say, God, I don't understand. It doesn't change the condition, does it? It doesn't change the situation when we say, God, I don't understand. We just need to do what we can where we are. Ask God for strength. Ask God for guidance. And do it. Whatever it is. He said, but we're not in despair. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We didn't give up. We didn't quit. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Might feel alone, but we always have the Lord, don't we? Remember, as Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, only Luke is with me. Thank God for Luke. Wrote the book of Acts. Documented, recorded all of the stuff that Paul did in the ministry. Only Luke is with me. Thank God for Luke. By the way, if you're not a Paul, be a Luke. Be a Luke. He said, we're cast down, but not destroyed. Look, it didn't kill us. Hey, let me give you some good news. You may already know this. You have survived every day so far. So far, you've survived every day. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in us, for in our body, for we which live are always delivered to the death, unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Are we really totally surrendered to the will of God? Do we really say, God, whatever you want, show me whatever you want, I'll do it. Is that really where we are? Are we that committed? Are we that submitted? Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. You know, there have been times in the ministry, not many, in here. I mean here at Capitol Heights. Not many, but there have been times where my pity party and my perplexity and my confusion and my persecution, I said, I quit. I faint. I give up. Then, as I was thinking about that pity party, and I got to thinking about the people of the church and what God's called me to do, I went back to we faint not. We faint not. Why? Because there's a ministry. Souls are in need of Christ. People need Jesus. Christians need encouragement. Churches need teaching. We need the Word of God. So yeah, in those times, and not recently, by the way, but in those times where I wanted to quit, I didn't, because of you. You say, what about God's call on your life? Well, that's, what is God's call on my life? You. We faint not. He says we go through all this, but in all of that, we faint not. Why? Because the ministry of mercy, he says in verse 1. He says, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know what our ministry is? New beginnings. Day by day. If you mess up today, wake up tomorrow and do better. If you mess up tomorrow, wake up the next day and do better. That's all. New beginnings. That's our ministry. Somebody comes along, a member of the church, and they have fallen. You know what we need to do? Encourage them, a new beginning. When your family members, when our family members fall short and we want to be mad and we want to give up on them, he says what? New beginning. Day by day. New mercy every morning. That's our ministry. How can we call ourselves Christians? How can we call ourselves being in the ministry if we don't extend mercy? If we don't believe in new beginnings? Though the outward man perish. He was talking about himself. He said, oh, I get wore out. I get exhausted. I want to quit. But we faint not, because there's a spiritual matter. There's the inward man that's renewed day by day. When the flesh gets weak, when the spirit takes over and gives us that new beginning, gives us that fresh start, gives us that new energy. If we walk with him in prayer and worship and communion and enlightenment and understanding, how do we do that? Stay in the word, stay in prayer, worship. Now look, if we don't walk with God, if you don't read your Bible, you'll faint. If you don't pray, you'll faint. You say, well, I hear what Paul's saying, but I faint. Now I know why. Day by day, the inward man is renewed. Now look, in all the troubles that we go through, they are to point others to Christ. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's what I kept trying to impress upon you about Job. I know it's horrific, but it was a season. In our lives, we have bad days. We have bad chapters. But it's not forever. We got to learn to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because if we lay down, you understand the teaching of the Good Shepherd in Psalm 23 is that when those sheep come into the shadow, they think it's nighttime. Sheep are dumb. And those sheep, when they think it's nighttime, they think it's time to stop and go to sleep. The problem is that if they stop, they'll be too cold and they'll freeze to death. And so the shepherd's got to keep them moving through the valley, back into the sunlight, back into the day. Guys, if we quit when we're discouraged, it's over. We've got to keep pressing on. We can't stop short of the goal. He says, that light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, at the things which are apparent. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. These days it's easy to get discouraged by what we see. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Hang on. Hang on. There's more to come. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. We talked about tribulation. But let me tell you about glory. You ain't seen nothing yet. I know somebody's going to say that's not good English. And you're right, it's not. But it's good doctrine. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, what did he say? Looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Paul said, I press toward the prize, the high calling. I press toward the mark, that I may receive a crown, not me only, but all those also which love his appearing. Are we looking for Jesus? Are we looking for heaven? Do we think about heaven? Do we long for heaven? I told you this morning that I spent some time this week just reflecting, just kind of reminiscing over my life and thinking about the different stages and phases and seasons and periods of life. You ever do that and wonder, what if I'd have turned left instead of turned right? What if I'd have gone this way, made that decision, did some of that? We could look at that and say, whoa, what a mess I've made. Or what a mess I could have made. Those are all temporal. Let me tell you something. We can't go back and redo it. What we can do is right now make a decision. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm surrendered to you. And I'm going to keep my mind on glorious, wonderful, biblical, heavenly, godly things. I know that there are things falling apart around me. I know there are disappointments and things that confuse me about this life. But God, I'm going to keep trusting you. Those things which are not seen. Let's stand. Father, we're thankful for your watch and care and protection over us by those things which are not seen. God, you know what tomorrow holds, and we don't. You see it, we don't. All we can see is what's here right now. God, we put our confidence in you, our faith in you, and we ask you to hold us in your hands. God, live through us and love through us. Make us useful. Because the truth is, sometimes the outward man perisheth. So, Lord, renew our inward man day by day and give us the ministry of mercy. Dismiss us now with your grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.